Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sharon, who was just with us here this last week for the very first retreat of the season, the first What You Practice retreat, and has agreed to be with us this afternoon, not so much to talk about that specific retreat, although that too, but in general, her experience of being on retreat. So welcome, Sharon.
Thank you so much, Jen. I'm thrilled to be here.
Great. Thanks for agreeing to talk with us. So you said something at the end of the retreat that intrigued me when you were talking about your experience of coming on retreat, and I realized it would be fun to have you on the show to talk about it because I suspect there are lots of other people in the same situation. You said that years ago you discovered Sherry's work, and then I think, was it last year you came to the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat?
Yes.
Yeah. So I was really curious what you feel like had you kind of make that shift. From finding practice, obviously it resonated for you, to years later finding yourself of actually deciding to come on retreat.
Yes, well, I'll tell you, I ordered Sherry's material about 15 years ago.
Oh.
And was deeply moved and touched, and I think ran like crazy. I think I put the box of materials in my closet, and 10-plus years later, pulled it out. And I'll tell you what really started me on this new quest. I lost my mom, and there was nothing like losing her that made me realize, you know, this life is rather brief. We're only here for a short time.
Yeah.
And
okay.
To continue to put off what I could do today, you know, for a later date. It just kind of brought that to an end for me.
Wow.
So I pulled out, I just happened to run across Sherry's books again right after that, and was reminded of how deeply moved and touched I was by her work. I felt at the time and still feel like Sherry heard me. And that's funny, I was reading her work, and I felt like she heard my heart cry. I just loved the compassion, the unconditional acceptance, the things. Those were just the heart gifts. My heart was hungry for something that I found in her work.
She heard your heart's cry. Wow, that's a powerful statement.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just, I think, again, in the last few years of my life, I've realized that the hunger that I have is a hard hunger, you know, and her work feeds that hard hunger for me.
Yeah, yeah. And that having lost your mom was a catalyst for you of realizing we don't have forever. I mean, as Sherry often says, even if we live a really, really long life, you know, a human lifespan is so brief. It's so
absolutely
short. And so as you say, why put off later? Why do it later? Let's do it now. Let's listen to the heart now.
Exactly.
And so how would you describe, Sharon, what coming on retreat has added? Obviously, you were practicing before you came on retreat. You were reading Sherry's books. It was resonating for you. I'm guessing you were having a lot of insights and seeing things. What would you say actually coming on retreat has added to your practice?
You know, Jen, it's like it added a totally different dimension. It deepened my practice tremendously. It's like reading about an experience. As a kid, I always dreamed of going to Switzerland. And it's like reading about going to Switzerland, going to the mountains versus the firsthand experience of walking in the mountains, you know, in the Alps, in the Swiss Alps. And it just brought to life that the light room, dark room experience. Coming to the retreat center was like coming to the light room for me. Literally, it just opened my eyes and my heart to what was causing me to suffer. And I think it was the safety of the environment. I think it was the compassionate, the watching, the compassion, the experience of watching chunks there, the love and compassion that you feel, beauty in nature. It was just so many wonderful things about being at the retreat center. It changed my life forever. Last year, it changed my life the entire year. It was like, and I couldn't wait until this year to sign up again. Come on the second week.
And I'm, you know, it's such a, that's a moment to stop and really recognize your own willingness in doing that. Because as you say, you know, you found Sherry's book 15 years ago. The heart really opens and sees the work. Conditioning wants us to run, as you said, to hide those books somewhere, to never go back to that place ever again. And
right,
so
right.
To have made that commitment to your heart, to have, you know, you went on a retreat, it transformed your whole year, and to commit to coming back is pretty extraordinary.
Yeah. Couldn't wait to sign up again. Because of the changes, I mean, my life changed completely. My focus, my attention was totally different in the first retreat, after the first retreat. You know, and I think the experience, having the experience there, that the environment there just really helped me see what was causing me to suffer. I mean, it was like hands-on, practical. Literally, I saw what was causing me to suffer. And I think it was, for me, the privileged environment, you know, not actually socializing, but, and so I had to focus inward and see what was going on with me. And so, yes, I couldn't wait to go back and get recharged, and that's exactly what happened this year.
Uh-huh. So that brings up two questions as I listen to you. The first one is tricky because I know this kind of thing is hard to put words to, but you said after the first retreat last year, it just changed your whole focus. Do you feel like you have a way to describe that change? Like, what was the, how was the focus of your life different after the retreat, would you say?
I think for the most part, I was so outwardly focused on what he did, she did, how he hurt me, or what, you know, it was other people I felt that were the main reason that I was struggling, and I was struggling. And after that retreat and the experience I had there at the monastery, I started to understand and to see and about conditioning and self-hatred. And so I was, the path I'm on now is just, it's inwardly directed. You know, it's not the person out there. It's what's going on inside.
Yeah, that's beautifully put. That's really, that's it, isn't it? And it's such good news. You know, we, our whole lives, we think, gosh, he's doing this and she's doing that, and if only I lived here, or if I had that partner or that job, that my I would have what I want. I would have the life I want. And to find out that's actually not true. It is all happening internally. And with practice, that becomes really good news because, of course, the job of trying to manipulate all of those external circumstances, wow.
Yes.
But to realize that we have the ability to affect it internally is really extraordinary.
Absolutely.
And so just the second one, it was, do you feel like, because I know there are lots and lots of There Is Nothing Wrong With You graduates who listen to the radio show, and the What You Practice retreat has really been billed as the sequel to that, to the There Is Nothing Wrong With You work. And I'm curious, if you're only a few days out of the experience, so it might, again, might be hard to say, but do you feel like it really built on that experience for you?
Absolutely, Jen. I think I was ready, because of the first retreat, I was ready for the What You Practice retreat, because this retreat, actually, I took a look at what was causing me to suffer. And on this retreat, I got some of the most fun, wonderful tools to help me deal with what was causing me or what causes me. I mean, in a really fun way, we took apart and looked at mechanics and got some handy tools, hands-on, some practical tools to use in everyday life that will help me tremendously, I know, in dealing with just living in general. So, yes, I was extremely grateful that I went to the first retreat, but even more so this retreat.
Yeah.
And to sit under the guidance of such gifted people. It was just, it was a wonderful experience, thrilling experience.
Yeah, again, that was quite well put, that the There Is Nothing Wrong With You work really highlights how we're suffering, you know, because it seems we get that we're suffering. It's what brings people to the monastery. But how it's happening can seem like such a mystery. That becomes highlighted in There's Nothing Wrong With Your work. We come to see that there really is nothing wrong with us, hopefully, and that the What You Practice retreat really builds on that in terms of offering the tools of deepening that and bringing that into our day-to-day lives.
Absolutely, and in such a fun way. I had a ball. It's such a fun retreat. I don't know that I expected anything, but it's just nothing like what I could have expected.
Yeah, I love that. I know. We always wish we could give details about it, and we can't, but I'm really glad you said that, because that's my experience, too. It's a ton of fun. It's completely different from any other retreat that we do, and so just really encourage people, if they're thinking about it, to jump on board.
Oh, yes. I would certainly encourage anybody who's even thinking about it to just do it.
Great. So, Sharon, anything else before we wrap it up and hand it over to Sherry and Michael?
Well, I just want to say that it's hard to believe that I'm actually getting to sit under the guidance of someone I've admired for so very long, and I got to spend another week with some of my most favorite people in the world. So I want to tell everybody at the retreat center hello, and all the Sangha, and it was real, the joy.
It is. Yep. And luckily, you have the tools to own all of those projections. All right, Sharon. Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
You are quite welcome. Thank you for asking me.
All right. Take good care.
All righty.
All right, Michael. We'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Sharon. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How you doing?
Great. I have tears in my eyes after that inspirational testimonial.
I know. Tears in the eyes and a big, big old grin. That's practice.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Very beautiful.
Yeah.
Very beautiful. So how was the retreat?
Ah, well, Sharon captured it perfectly.
Great.
Yeah, it is so much fun. And because, you know, I'm kind of known for saying that. And, you know, practice is fun. If you're not having fun, it's not practice. You know, all those things, and people kind of roll their eyes and go, yeah, right. Yeah, I'm having a good time, all right. And so to be on that retreat and, you know, we're just laughing and carrying on nonstop. Lots of tears in the eyes too, let's face it. And lots of laughing and playing and having fun, and it just, to me, it does put practice into perspective. What is practice and what isn't practice? It gets really, really clear. So
yeah.
We have another one, you know, in June, so I'm hoping that people who have been on the fence will take advantage of it, because that's it. We don't know how long.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. I have some announcements here.
I just gave one of them away, huh?
Yes. We have several There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreats and What You Practice Is What You Have retreat that are open for registration on the schedule.
Hmm.
And you, Sherry, will be at the Shambhala Mountain Center in Colorado for a weekend workshop July 13th through 15th. It's entitled Awareness, It's Not What You Think. That's the best title I've heard of.
Isn't it? I love it.
Yes. And folks can visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more details.
And, you know, people also who, we had some great conversations on this retreat about how people will say, well, you know, I've done that retreat. And so there's the, you know, so I'll just have to wait for a retreat that I haven't done. And people who were repeating retreats, you know, loud as how, it doesn't matter really what the content of the retreat is. it's being on retreat, it's being with Sangha, it's being in the environment of the monastery, when I will say it's at its most beautiful right now. But inspired by people's concern that they need something new and different, we actually have come up with a brand new retreat, and it is going to be primarily for old-timers because, we have all those, there's nothing wrong with your retreats that are great for people new to practice, but if you've been around for a lot of years, then you're ready for something different. So keep an eye out for it. The kind of working titles are, your practice, just practice. And so I'm not going to give any more away, but if you're an old-timer and you're looking for a retreat, keep your eyes peeled because it's coming up on the schedule.
Wow. Wow, that's fun.
That is fun.
Great.
Yeah.
I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So let's get started. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Janet from New Hampshire.
How are you?
Hi. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to call you because I wanted to kind of report what's going on and then get some guidance from you. So the content is I'm retiring from my job that I have been doing for 20-some years, and it was a decision I made a year and a half ago because I had to give a year and a half notice.
Wow.
And the decision, what I've really, I've been working with the mentor and I've been, anyway, what happened was I've been really, really excited until a couple of weeks ago. And then conditioning just really got a hold of me and was like, what are you doing? What have you done?
Uh-huh.
Was like this, like doom and gloom.
Yeah.
Do you see the predicament you've put yourself in? And just, just all this kind of crazy stuff. And what I realized is the decision was completely made from my heart. Like, I loved the good news because they were talking about, heard my heart's cry.
Uh-huh.
Well, this decision really came from my heart. And now conditioning's wanting me to go up in my head and figure it out.
Yes.
And they don't match.
Right. And so let me guess, because you're giving up security and money and all of that?
Health benefits.
Health benefits. That's a biggie, isn't it?
That's a huge one, yeah. It's like, you're giving up that. Look at what all you've had. You've had all this and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, you've had all this and you've worked every day of your life and you've... Does it say that part too?
That I've worked every day of my life?
Yeah, yes, you had all of that, and it's not like you were lying around on the couch eating bonbons and being given all of that. What you traded for that was hours and hours of your life.
Yes, that's why I'm calling you, to hear you just say that.
yeah,
because that's
what it does,
that's
right?
It.
Yeah, yeah.
It wants
you to get one little piece of the puzzle, so that you'll get to the place where it wants you to be, which is really miserable, right? That's all it's going for is to make you miserable.
Right. Yes.
So there's no focus on. It takes away all of the opportunities that you have, right? So it is loss, lack, deprivation, something wrong, not enough, which is loss, lack, and deprivation.
Yes.
Urgency, fear, right? That's what that system is. And so that's what it comes at you with, right? Now you're not going to have as much money and you're not going to have those health benefits and you're not going to, it doesn't say, and you're going to have all of this time and you'll be able to choose what you want to do. And there's nothing to say that you can't choose things that are going to give you a lifestyle comparable to the one that you had before, you'll just have so much more time to relax and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Doesn't say
that's
that.
Exactly why I made the decision with all of that. It was just what it's just was really amazing to watch the onslaught that came,
mm-hmm.
because I wasn't expecting it.
Really?
I wasn't.
Silly girl.
I know. I really wasn't. I was like, I'm just so ready. This is so right. And then when it came, so then people were coming up to me and saying, wow, you must be so excited. And I'm like, well, yes and no. It's
well, I used
sweet.
To be. I was.
I was excited until right now.
Yeah.
But when I talk to the mentor, it's like, you know, it's like take the leap, you know, spread your wings. There's going to be so much that's going to arise, you know. It's going to be so alive and so awake, and everything's right and good.
Yeah. Which
it's
you know.
The complete opposite.
Yeah, which you know on some level, right? Well, of course you know it. It was your experience for almost a year.
I do know. That's why I made the decision.
Yeah. And it's shocking, isn't it? Shocking and edifying to watch it just roar up like that out of nowhere. Just
yeah.
Roar up and take over your whole life, color your whole world.
Yes, and I love what you just said because it just took that one little section. It's just like, so it blots out everything else. It's just like, this is what you're being deprived of.
Yeah. And
what
that's
have
what,
you done?
That's what it's always doing to everybody all the time. It's always in the dark room. And, of course, as you're stating so clearly, it wants to drag you into the dark room with it.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, completely. And if I didn't have this practice and if I didn't know I had a mentor that was, you know, there with me, and I believe the mentor more than I believe conditioning, but conditioning is, it's pretty convincing, you know,
yes.
At some point.
Well, it's convincing for a reason that you know very well, but I'm going to tell you anyway, just to pretend like you don't.
Okay.
It's
good.
Convincing because it's talking to someone who believes it.
Yes. Yes.
It's
yes,
not gonna,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's not going to talk to the person who's excited about leaving work and doing something different with the rest of her life. It's not going to talk to that person. It gets the person who is afraid of not having the same paycheck and not having those health benefits, and the one who you know, for most people, the one who keeps a person in the trenches day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, even though the person doesn't want to be there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so and then it makes them look like they're very sensible.
Yes.
You know, why aren't you sensible?
Oh, yeah.
Like them.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, for most people, it's talking to their parents, you know. So, I mean, there you are, you know, you're whatever it is, and you decide that, you're going to just leave everything behind and travel around the world for 2 or 3 years. And all the adults are just hysterical at the prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same process. That you
right.
have tapped into, and so the one it taps into the one who's terrified, it taps into the sensible adult, responsible, and it gets passed off. We're taught that that's wisdom, right? To take that responsible view of life. Well,
yeah,
you know,
wisdom to not you know jump off the cliff.
Right. yeah. Yeah, and so, you know, the funny part is, of course, that you're supposed to stay in that position so that you can retire. That's what people are told. You know, you have to stay in your job so that you can retire when you get to a certain age and after you've worked and all of that. So you did that. but you still don't get any points.
No, that's right. Yeah, because there's always something,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
There's
yeah,
just
exactly.
always something.
There's always a reason you shouldn't have your life. There's always
yeah,
a good
that's
reason.
That's good, yeah.
There's always a good reason that conditioning, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate should have your life instead of you having it.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if you remember this at all, but over the years I have talked to you about having such a hard time making decisions. And this was a decision that was just completely made, and that was it. And so that's why it was so surprising, because it was like, this is one of the decisions I've made that I really didn't even second guess.
Right. Well, and of course, from a spiritual perspective or a spiritual practice perspective, that's what makes it so perfect, because you weren't in doubt. You know that decision was made from your heart. And
yes.
then it hits you with this big load of karmic conditioning, and you really get to see it for what it is. Now the trick, as you've noticed, is stepping back from it, not
yes.
getting sucked in, not getting pulled in to the point that you believe it, but continuing to see what it is and where it came from and what it's trying to do.
Well, yeah, and I feel like I'm coming out on that end right now. I mean, there were a couple of weeks that I've been in it.
Yeah,
and
but you wouldn't have called in if you weren't ready to pop.
Good. I think
right?
it's true.
Yeah, yeah, it would never have let you call in if you hadn't crossed that middle line into heading for the light room.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you were just what I wanted.
Good. I'm so glad.
Thank you so much. And I also want to put a plug in for the retreat. Anybody who's thinking about going, it's fabulous. I went last summer.
Yeah.
Loved it. Had the best time.
Yes, and I'm not going to give anything away, but I remember, and you're not either, but I remember you on the first day of that retreat going, what? What? What are we? This is not a Zen retreat. It was so Zen, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was so Zen. I loved it. So if anyone's thinking about going, just do it.
Good. Good. All right. Thank you,
Thank
Janet.
You so much.
Good
hey,
night.
Hey, good night, Sherry. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jodine from San Francisco.
Oh, hello, Jodine.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
What's going on with you?
Well, I just got home from retreat. That fabulous retreat everyone's talking about.
Uh-huh.
And I want to put a plug in for doing it again.
Uh-huh.
So I went to the What You Practice retreat last July when I was, it was part of my deepening practice training month.
Oh, that's right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I had kind of, you know, I had an amazing experience. And then I had a situation where I had, like, just a small window in time to pick to be able to go on a retreat. And it was either going to be There's Nothing Wrong With You or, like, repeating that, or What You Practice. And I chose the What You Practice retreat. And I had a completely different experience of it this time. Like, so, I mean, I guess you could probably say that for any retreat, but I would just say once everyone's had a chance to do it once, you know, definitely think about doing it again if you can.
Yeah, you know, that is such an essential point, just generally speaking in practice, but specifically talking about retreats, that we really can't do anything a second time. It's just not possible.
Right.
Everything is something we're doing for the first time. But what you're pointing at is so important, because we assume even though, okay, I know I'm a new person and blah, 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 years gone by, but, you know, it's still going to be the same retreat. And to realize, to have the experience that, no, a year later, at this time, at that place, I'm a completely different person. And I'm so completely different that, as far as I can tell, it's a different retreat.
That's basically what I found. And kind of to catch you up on what's happening, or kind of the big picture for me, or why that's so, is I was really on a practice high last July when I got everything together to make the month-long happen. And, you know, all of the stuff that was happening in, there was also there was another retreat that we did that July.
Yeah, Not What But How.
Yes, Not What But How. So in both of those retreats, I was just, like I said, I was just on a roll or something. I was like, yes, I'm, whoa, yes, I see that. I'm getting this. Oh, my gosh, that's what I do. You know, all this stuff was, like, clicking. But in some way, I think I missed something because of that. Because coming off of that month, I ran into a whole lot of just really kind of, I don't know what to say, just a lot of kind of difficulties in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think I had a pretty bad backlash from all of that high I was on, where I really needed to be practicing in a deeper way, but it wasn't available to me somehow.
Uh-huh.
And I swear, from like November last year until about now, I've been through a lot of difficulties. I've called in a couple of times, and I know that I've asked for guidance on a lot of this stuff. But I almost feel like I have been just completely getting slammed by conditioning for the 6 months up until that retreat. And even like driving onto the monastery grounds, I was in a giant argument with my partner, who was dropping me off at the retreat. And all I can say is like, thank God my heart registered for that retreat, because maybe, I don't know, like 2 or 3 days into it, the release from that months and months of hell, basically, was just indescribable. Like I just like so much let go, and I don't think it could have happened unless I was at the monastery.
Yeah. Good, isn't it?
You know, it's like this feeling of taking a breath and realizing it's been a long time since I took a deep breath.
Yeah. Well, the image I had when you said that is, you know, you've been underwater for a long time, and you finally break the surface and get that first big lungful of fresh air, and it's just really good to be alive. And, you know, Jodine, the thing about that, again, that seems true for me, is that it's true that going on retreat is a great way to break out of that stuff. So what people hear is, you know, life is really hard and there's all this stuff going on and all these circumstances in life that are really difficult. I don't want to go on retreat. I can't get away now. And in some ways, that's the best time to go. Because we are, generally speaking, ripe for the kind of breakthrough or the kind of dropping, seeing through karma and dropping it that you're describing. And, of course, what karmic conditioning wants to do is keep us in those circumstances and keep us in the world that it creates for us out of those circumstances. So, you know, I know a lot of what was going on for you with health issues. And so karmic conditioning wants to take advantage of that particular content to make you believe that you have to live in its world while you're going through this. Whereas when we get into that kind of heart environment, we realize that, yeah, okay, so I still, you know, it's not like the health issues went away, but I can have a whole different way of being with myself as I am going through these difficult life circumstances.
Yeah. So we're over time, and I'm going to call once a month now. I decided as a commitment because I really need some guidance and support. I'm sure, like, everything, even though I feel like it was a big breakthrough.
You want to keep breaking through.
Yeah, I want to keep that going. So thanks so much, and we'll talk again in a month.
Very good. Take good care of yourself, huh?
Okay, I will.
All right.
Thanks.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
It's Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So shine.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection, moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Zoe.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes. You sound a little far away, but I think you are.
Okay.
So.
Oh, okay, good. Well,
that's better.
Less echoey. Okay. I really wanted to ask you a question about, there was a passage, and what you practice is what you have.
Uh-huh.
And I bought the digital library on Keep It Simple, and so I was just listening to stuff on Shuffle from that. And there was one passage that came up that I had a couple questions about. It was about meditation, and you said, or you wrote, I guess, and said in the book that that even though you wrote about meditation, that you would encourage people not to start a formal sitting practice unless they have, one, mostly ended self-hate, and two, can no longer stop themselves and simply must sit in meditation.
Yeah. I'm going to stick by that.
You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, good, because I wanted to ask about that because I already started one.
Uh-oh.
And so then I was wondering, you know, I started one and it was, I was wondering, well, what about those two things?
What do I do?
Know?
What do I do now?
Well, yeah, well, first of all, like, how do I know if I'm mostly free of self-hate?
Okay.
And
first of all,
should I stop meditating and wait until I can no longer stop myself?
Yeah. So let's start with that first one. Tell me a little bit about your practice. And this is kind of the direction that I'm looking at. Does it feel as if meditation practice is just another piece of content that the voices will use to torture you?
Well, I came to your teachings because it was in the past, and that was the major piece of content that the voices did use to torture me over. But I've since made a lot of progress in kind of taking that away from self-hate. But I don't know. Well, am I mostly free of it?
Well. The thing,
I don't know.
The thing about it is, do you feel like you're able to sit in awareness, to pay attention, and the result of it isn't more beatings?
Yeah,
okay.
I can. However, you had another section in what how to get from where you are to where you want to be that was called Doubtful Meditator. It's not necessarily a beating, but there's a little bit like, oh, this is really hard, and oh, I'm off in fantasy land, and there's like a lot of that kind of.
Yes, which is great, because we do, part of sitting practice is seeing all of that and how it all works, right? So
yeah.
What the encouragement about self-hatred is that if people, an awful lot of people fall into this trap. So the way we break it down is that the voices of self-hate are usually talking to a young person who is pretty much defenseless. And so people get talked into doing all kinds of things, and then they get talked out of doing them, and then this same vulnerable person is beaten over it.
Right.
That's what we're trying to avoid. So
okay.
If you're using awareness practice truly to become more aware of how everything works,
uh-huh.
and you feel like you're able to disidentify from what the voices are saying and doing, that you're able to watch them do what they're doing without taking it on or taking it personally. That's the place I'm hoping people will be when they're sitting. Because if you're doing that, then you are actually increasing your awareness. you're able to direct your attention in a way that increases your awareness of how the whole thing works. And that leads to freedom. If people get stuck sitting there and the voices say, this is too hard. You're not doing it. You should be doing the laundry. What's the matter with you? Your life doesn't work. And they believe it. They take it on and they take it in. And the only thing they're getting out of awareness practice is beatings. Then I hope that they don't do it. And I hope that they are inspired to seek guidance from someone who can help them sort out what's awareness practice and what's self-hate.
Okay. That helps.
Good. Good. And the second part of it? Ah, okay. Yeah, yes. That's an equally important piece, because so many people will decide to meditate because they feel like they should.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I think I'm mostly looking at the second piece.
Yeah. So if you feel like you should, it's really better not to. Now, if the voices are telling you that you should, but in your heart you know that you want to practice being silent and you want to be in solitude so that you can be more in touch with your heart and learn to disidentify from all that hateful stuff so that you can protect and care for the incarnation, great.
Mm. Yeah, I think I've just been having trouble accessing the heart or the person that wants to, or, I have a belief that it's buried in there, but for some reason it just seems covered up at the moment and I'm sort of going on faith, like, whoa, okay, I'm doing this because I feel like I know that there's a part of me that wants to, but I'm not experiencing, I'm not identified with that part of myself right now.
Yes. So,
does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I will tell you that there is not a religion or spirituality on the planet that doesn't speak to that very issue. And, in fact, there isn't anybody in a relationship, anybody with children, anybody with a job who doesn't know that experience as well. Right?
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah. So, it's kind of running hot and cold. And we'll do that with our awareness practice along with everything else. So that's why I often compare awareness practice to a commitment that people would make to a relationship or to having children or that sort of thing. So, when you get to that place where, gosh, I'm just not feeling the enthusiasm, you know that you have agreed to do this because in the big picture, it's who you are and it's what you want to do. You with me on that one?
Yeah.
So one of my big rants over the last little period of time is that people have to lose interest in how they feel. Okay? It doesn't matter how you feel. Who do you want to be? How do you want to be? That's what we need to look to. Because if we're looking to how we feel, we're deeply, deeply conditioned human beings. So
right. I'm never going to feel like it. And if I'm not identified with a person that wants to do it, how am I ever going to get there
if I'm not
following the process?
That's right. And so if you know you want to eat healthy food, you want to get enough sleep, you want to be aware, you want to end suffering, you want to practice loving kindness, you want to feel peace, if you're that kind of person, then that's what you look to make your choices, not do I feel like exercising.
Yeah. Well, thank you. This has been very helpful. That was right on.
Good. Well, let's talk again then.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, that was very helpful for me, too. Thank you.
Good. I liked it myself.
Great.
Good to clarify those things periodically, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Remind ourselves of why it is that we are doing what we're doing.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And the commitment piece was really spoke to me as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
And we have another caller.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Susan Smelly.
Hi, Susan.
Can you hear me okay?
I can. We can hear a lot of other noise, too. So, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm on a cell phone. So, I'm calling. I did the resistance email class.
Uh-huh.
And out of that, I decided to go ahead and do the 30-day retreat. And the focus of it was, or is, sort of looking at what Jen said, how do I make decisions? And I decided instead of trying to change that process, I was just going to get real familiar with what that process was.
Oh, that's very wise. Very wise indeed.
Yeah, because they, and I went to the host of personalities, of which there's an army in there, and the reason I'm focusing on it, because it's kind of a smaller issue, is that my tendency is to, like, overdo things just to overdo and people please and take care of everyone and, you know, that process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to watch. I actually have this grid of, like, what was the decision? What did I choose? When did I change my mind? And what was the result? But I'm trying to find in my body the sensation, because there is one that goes, no. Yes, maybe. I do have a sense, and then I just override it. Like, well, yeah, but you should, and rah-da-da-da-da, you know,
there
the voices start.
Yep.
And it's even though I'm aware of it, I've been doing this now for 3 weeks, I still do it. I still go, oh, yeah, but la-la-la-la-la, and then I commit to something, and then sure enough, I don't sleep well that night. I'm tired. I don't eat well. I don't take care of myself. I don't do or become who I want to be. And I don't even know if there's a question in this. It's just sort of, you know, how do I change, you know? And if I just,
yeah.
I'm 62. I'm like, geez, when?
Well, the good news is we have discovered that neuroplasticity doesn't end in adolescence, as was thought for a very long time. So
mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, I have a dirt driveway,
mm-hmm.
and the vehicles go down that dirt driveway, and the ruts just get deeper and deeper and deeper, right?
Right, right.
And so, what? this is a true story. I'm obsessive about a lot of things, and this is one of them. What I really want people to do is drive on that road, such that one wheel is on the high spot. And the other wheel is on the side of the road, on the opposite, you know, outside the rut.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in that way, we wear the whole thing down uniformly. But if we follow that habit of there's the rut, get in it and drive,
uh-huh.
then eventually we're going to get to the point where we can't go down that road any longer. Because the vehicle just won't be able to do it.
Yeah, yeah,
okay?
I see that.
And
yeah.
that's a perfect image of what we're talking about. So what we do, how do we change? Exactly the way you're doing it. You identify what the issue is, what the situation is, where those ruts are, and you keep your eye on them so
mm-hmm.
that you know where to steer so that you don't keep deepening those ruts. And because those ruts are in our heads, okay, we really are changing the pathways by bringing conscious awareness and making a different choice. And as far as I can tell, it really does count, even if you go, oops, okay?
Yeah.
So you're you know, you're partway down the rut, and you go, I'm doing it again, and then you
mm-hmm.
course correct, and you're making that change.
Yeah, I think that's my beginning to be my experience. And I think what it is this whole change. And it started when I began to meditate of wanting more stillness and wanting just more the luxury of time and stillness for myself.
Yeah.
But in doing that, it's like, wow, who is this person? You know, it's a little scary, and that's not what people are used to, and they don't know who this is and what does it mean. And
that's right.
I feel now I don't have a huge choice whether I'm going to do it or not, because obviously I am.
Yes.
It's just, I don't know, I'm just thinking, well, it's just such an interesting thing.
Here's the thing. Probably if you're like most people, you're surrounded by people who are driving down the ruts,
mm-hmm.
and who would really love to have a different life experience.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they don't know who you are, if you remain cheerful, if you are open about what it is that you're attempting to do, you give everybody permission to explore and change in the way that you will be modeled.
Oh, that makes me feel better, because I worry people get their feelings hurt, or client, you know, whoever they are, and to be able to say, you know, I don't even know where this is going, but here's what I'm doing for myself, and I love you dearly, and no, I don't want to go out, and no, I don't want to do that, you know, to be able to.
Yes.
Because that love is still there. Nothing has changed in my heart.
Absolutely.
But my behavior is changing, and God, it doesn't make sense to me, so I can only imagine what sense it makes to me. Well, that's not true. It does make sense.
It does make sense. You want more, you want more time for yourself. And,
go ahead.
Well, just, you know, when you're in your 20s, when you're in your 30s, you know, time is one thing. You know, every decade that passes, time becomes something different.
Yeah, and it isn't even like I want to fill it up. You know, in the last part of the tree, it says give yourself a gift for the next 15 days or whatever it is. And I had all kinds of shoulds, and the one it boiled down to was I was going to give myself the luxury of unstructured time.
Yes, yeah.
And hanging on to that is like hanging on to a life raft. It's like every wave threatens to pull me away, every decision, everything.
Yes.
But I'm talking to you today.
And one other piece of it, it sounds like you're clear about this, but it's important to, you know, write it, paint it on the wall or something. What doesn't want you to do this is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Oh, yeah, I'm coming to the retreat in June.
Good.
And that came up as grist for the mill. Like, it went on my grid.
Good.
Is this just something else I'm going to do? And I was getting, I tried to get in last week. I went ahead and decided, well, okay, if I'm going to, I'll just do it and see. It gets on the grid.
Yeah.
The same
Good.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, and so when that resistance comes up, you know what it is that's resisting it. And so you just keep choosing your heart. You just keep choosing your heart. And here's the deal. In the world, okay, the right person thing to do is to be busy, to sacrifice for everybody else, to be making choices for, when you're old and in a rest home somewhere, making sure that you have plenty of money to, anyway. And from the heart, you know, the right spiritual thing to be doing, God help us all if we can make a statement like that, is exactly what you're doing. Coming back to the present, making choices for the heart, choosing loving kindness and compassion, interconnectedness, turning away from suffering, turning toward freedom. So you don't get that message in the world, but in the world of spirituality, you're doing the right thing.
Oh, thanks. It's like I need a cheerleader, because it's very hard to hold it for
myself.
It's
very hard. It is very hard. There's so much against it. That's why we stick together as solid.
Yeah.
Because there, everything out there is giving us exactly the opposite message. So we have to find those like-minded, like-hearted people that we can, you know, kind of hold hands and say, is this okay? Can I really have unstructured time in my day? Is that really okay? And we all say, yes, that's very okay. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, and particularly if I look back to my body and how I feel, that's when I feel the best. I may not think the best, but my body feels the best. And to have that be a priority over my thoughts is a switch in and of itself.
That's good.
Okay, thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
See you in a month.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, am I on?
You are on. Hello.
Hello. I just love it when conditioning tricks me like this. Or do I trick conditioning? I don't know which one. Because I didn't think I was actually on the call list.
Uh-huh.
This is Gwen in Texas again.
Hello, Gwen.
Hello. I will also be there for the What You Practice Is What You Have, and I'm very, very excited.
Good.
And I was listening to the archives today, and I realized that conditioning has bamboozled me once again in that I listen to the archives about 30 minutes to an hour a day, depending on my drive. And conditioning had me convinced that because I was listening to the archives, I really don't need to meditate. And I caught on to that three or four days ago, and I went, wait a minute, what's going on here? And
isn't,
conditioning.
Isn't that astounding to see, though? I mean,
it is.
Truly amazing, humbling. And then sliding into terrifying, that it works in there, starts talking to us, tells us something, we kind of nod, go along with it, and pretty soon we're headed in this direction that we never had any intention of going in.
And complacent.
Well, and kind of asleep, right? I mean, we don't know it. We think we're awake. But somehow decisions are being made for us that we're not making. That's kind of, it's impressive, but it's scary.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And what I don't understand, because I've tuned into this program and I put the number up there to call in, and it's on my little thing right in front of my computer, and I deliberately pushed the other number. So how did I get in if I put in the other number? So I'm so confused. I have this on an app on my phone. So I don't know if it's conditioning tricking me or me tricking conditioning. I wonder if this happens to anyone else who calls in that suddenly
or,
they're on
or
the call.
Life taking care of you. Life knows you need to get that number.
Well, this morning I had thought I'm going to call in tonight, and then I went, no, I don't need to call in tonight. I've got such a busy day. So I immediately, no, I'm not going to do that. And here I am. So.
Yes. And that again, that's another one of those places. Like, I've called in the radio show. No, I don't need to do that. I've had such a busy day. Who said that? it wasn't. So in the earlier call, I can't, where's the part of me who wants to meditate? And so in that, who said that? I mean, somebody says that they want to call in the radio show. Somebody else says, no, I don't need to do that. I've had such a busy day. Like, if those people were, one was purple, the other orange, then somebody else comes up who's green and says, what I really want to do is go out to dinner. And then this yellow person comes up and says, I think I'm going to mop the kitchen floors. It's just been way too long. We could get it that, God, that, who's me? Who's the I in here? But it doesn't go that way. And so it just kind of filters, slides into our minds and out of our minds. And we don't get it that the authentic self, who I actually am as compared to who I think I am, is not making my life decisions.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a wolf in sheep's clothing. It seems like, oh, this is your friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you don't need to meditate. Pat, pat, pat.
Yes, precisely. Yeah, and then we feel good. We feel taken care of, rather than that. Wait a minute. What is going on here? Who's talking to me? Who am I listening to? Yeah.
It's a tricky field.
It is. It's a field of landmines, and we don't know we're getting blown up.
until we're bleeding on the field, going, what happened? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Because I was getting very complacent. Oh, I'm just, I'm being so good. I'm doing this for myself and I'm doing that for myself. And this morning I'm even kind of realized, as my voice, oh, you don't need to call in, you're too busy. And there was part of me going, well, maybe I do, but I'm kind of hesitant. So I didn't go to the mentor and I didn't record. And I realized that was my error of ways. And I've been grabbing the recorder when I catch myself going into that, how do you describe it? Kind of doubtful of not really understanding, and grab the recorder and say it and then listen back to it and it'll tell you.
Yeah, right, that is such a good point. And it goes right along with, we have to lose interest in how we feel, that we make the commitment and that's it. Because as you described, as soon as it slides into that, well, this and that, and nothing is saying, grab the recorder.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have that commitment, we put those two things together, and we practice that when I'm feeling that way and listening to that stuff, and then that's when I need to record. So, it's kind of, you could make a list of, these are the 15 times when I really need to grab the recorder. And then watch for those. And when they come up, we grab the recorder, even though there's that information coming, oh, you don't need to do that, you're too busy, or you just recorded yesterday, or I'm becoming obsessive about this awareness stuff. Yeah.
Well, I've started, I guess it was yesterday, that I've decided on my schedule, and I did it yesterday, and I haven't done it today because conditioning talked me out of it because I was too busy. But I've got to have a time slot, just like at the monastery at 7 or 7:30. We meditate for 30 minutes. So it's now on my schedule.
Good for you.
To meditate.
Good for
and,
you.
Of course, today I got a phone call during the time where I was supposed to meditate, and then I didn't have time before I went to work. So next time I'm just not going to take the call.
There you go. Turn the phone off.
I've got a trick conditioning. It's so tricky. It gets me often.
Yeah. And again, I know you know this, but we don't want to make a contest out of it, right? So if it takes you a week to get through all of the stuff it's throwing in front of you to keep you from sitting, from establishing that, that's fine. And then if you've been, you're sitting every morning, and then the voices start saying, oh, you're doing so great. This is, just watch, expect, it's going to sabotage you again. And then it's going to want to tell you that you're not doing it and you might as well quit, and you watch that. And pretty soon, you've just seen through everything it does, and you've got it recorded and you're listening to it and you can expect it. And that's how we do to it what it has done to us. We become relentless in our attention to what's going on. So it's been relentless in its pursuit of getting our attention. We're going to be even more relentless in our pursuit of maintaining, of keeping our attention.
And, Sherry, what's so amazing is being aware is such pure joy.
Oh,
and
yes.
Meditation is just such calm, such peace, it's so rich. Why are we so quick to go with conditioning, which to me feels very thin? and strident and tight, and we give up the joy and the peace and the fullness for thin and stressed out.
and suffering.
Yes.
Yeah. It is a mystery, isn't it? That is definitely one of the big head scratchers of all time. Yeah. All right. Well.
All right.
You're going to be here when?
June 16th.
Good. Looking forward to it. But we'll probably talk between now and then, because you'll call the wrong number, and then Michael will get you, and there you'll be, and we'll be chatting.
Right. I'm going to try to figure this one out.
Thanks, Gwen.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Gwen. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Thank you for being so relentless, Sherry.
And you, sir.
Couldn't do it without you.
Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right.
Good night.